much about.
Well, it's really kind of simple, see. I speak into this, and my voice is instantaneously transmitted out where it's heard by well over 100 people.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Anyway, what?
Anyway, what? Really, seriously, because when you say anyway, then you have to follow it up with an actual contribution to the conversation we're having.
Yikes.
No, look at me. There's no yikes, and the reason why there's no yikes is because there's nothing scary about this situation, okay? It's a very low-stakes situation.
All right.
No, not all right. Come here. No, don't look at him. Don't look at either of those guys. Look at me, all right? All right, what? Because after you say all right, you have to follow that up with something.
And now,
this that's happening here is not allowed.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 3rd of August. What's happening?
You tell me. What's going on?
You know, living large.
Right. How was everybody's weekend?
Real good.
Good.
How was yours,
Bean? How was To Catch a Predator weekend?
To Catch a Predator weekend?
Mm.
What are you referring to?
Grown men crossing the border to see Taylor Swift?
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you,
something
weird has happened with the Taylor Swift audience that has now grown up and seems to be mostly girls in their 20s coming as a girls' night out.
Oh, dear.
It was shocking to us.
Was it kind of a bummer? Or
I guess you can't go to Taylor Swift anymore. Now we got to find somebody new.
Oh, man. Ruined it.
No, it was a surprise. That that BC Place, Kevin, where you were just a few weeks ago seeing the Women's World Cup finals.
Yep.
That's a beautiful arena, isn't it?
Isn't it nice?
Boy, it's nice.
I saw such a better show there than you did.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where you're wrong.
Like 100 times
That's
better.
Where you're wrong. No, we'll talk about it later, but Dave, our producer, and Christina, assistant producer, they came up, and we hung out on Friday, and then Saturday got up and hit the road and drove up to Canada, saw the show, and then drove back that night, and then they flew home Sunday. I think they had a good weekend, but I guess we'll find out when we talk to them later.
Now, when did you watch the UFC fight, or did you? There was some talk about when you get back at like 3:30 in the morning.
Yes. That's a complicated story. Maybe we'll get into that later.
Okay.
But I did see it, and obviously very happy for our little Rhonda.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She's something else.
She is.
She is something else.
I want to know how watching something on TV is complicated.
It was complicated.
How did that get complicated?
Okay. Well, we don't have time to get into it now, but... Okay. Let's start with, because we probably won't have time to talk about it later on today. Let's start with the saddest story of the whole weekend, though. And it's Hitchbot, because it had to have broken your heart, Allie. Because I know how much you loved little Hitchbot.
Honestly, it made me so much happier that it didn't happen in his initial outing.
Yes.
If you know what I'm saying.
Now, Hitchbot, yeah, exactly. Hitchbot, for folks who don't know, is the hitchhiking robot, which captured the hearts of people all around the world. It has been an experiment that was created by these two Canadian researchers, and it has already had a lot of fun. It's been through multiple countries in Europe. Last year, it hitchhiked all the way across Canada. When I say it hitchhiked, I mean it doesn't move on its own. It basically is an artificial intelligence robot that depends on the kindness of strangers. So it gets put on the side of the road, and the researchers are hands-off, and then they just track it electronically, and they want to see where it goes and what kinds of adventures it has. And, I mean, it went across 3,000 miles of Canada with no problems.
No problems.
So it comes to America, and it kicks off in Marblehead, Massachusetts on July 17th. Where is that, Allie? Where's Marblehead? Is it near Boston?
Sort of, yeah. But then it traveled throughout Boston. So I think that was just the spot, and it's a wealthy area. So I guess they thought, people will be traveling into the city.
Sure.
So we'll see a robot and pull over and pick it up. Sure. Why wouldn't you?
It apparently had a great time in Boston. It went to a Red Sox game. Yep. It went out on the water.
Bostonians do pick up. Lovely little robot.
Keep saying it has a great time and a fun time. It's a robot.
Well, it snaps pictures, and you can see it had a great time if you follow along.
But yeah. I'm saying it's having a great time.
It is. Yeah, okay. It's working.
All right. It's having a great time, and it's meeting lots of fun people. Okay. And it's a little, I mean, it reminds me of, and Kevin, you'll hate to hear this, but seeing the photos of all the people who have been with Hitchbot over the past couple of years, it's like the Stanley Cup is traveling.
All right, people, slow down.
You
slow
go
down,
right to hell.
Yeah. I can't accept it.
You go right to hell.
In that.
Hell for you, sir.
Well, you can't deny that there is a similarity in that people see this object
go
and,
right
they
to hell.
And they want to touch it. And they want to take their picture with it, and they want to take it places. That's similar to the Stanley Cup.
Do they want to do that?
It's also similar to Flat Stanley, but you didn't go there.
I'm saying that people are excited to see Hitchbot, or were excited to see Hitchbot, until it got to Philadelphia, which may be the new worst place in the world.
No, it's always been.
And
it's been the reigning champ for a long time.
But I felt like the mass holes were catching up. Really did.
No.
But I got to say, in this case, Massachusetts treated Hitchbot pretty well, and then it gets to Philadelphia, and it almost gets instantly destroyed. Now, they don't know who did it. All they know, and where did the picture come from, Allie? Do you know where did that photo come from of him, like in a ditch, just torn to shreds?
I am not sure, because one of the last people that tweeted about Hitchbot showed all these great pictures. We picked up Hitchbot; people were super excited, and then this person said, "I'm going to leave him here if anyone wants to go get him." And apparently, Hitchbot got into the wrong hands.
Oh,
yeah.
Apparently, some Eagles fans got a hold of him.
Yeah, but the thing with that picture, which is so disturbing, is the people that had Hitchbot said, "We're not going to release the last picture because we don't want kids that follow Hitchbot to be too distraught."
Oh. So whoever, I guess my question is, whoever decided to destroy Hitchbot took pictures of it and then uploaded it to the Hitchbot social media so that the creators would see it?
Yeah.
Like somebody wanted it to hurt and wanted to rub it in. They didn't just want to be they didn't just want to do it and have us wonder. They wanted to make sure it hurt. Hitchbot tweets, "Oh dear, my body was damaged, but I live on with all my friends. Sometimes bad things happen to good robots. My trip must come to an end for now, but my love for humans will never fade. Thanks, friends."
P.S. Screw Philly.
He didn't say that, but he certainly should have. Okay. So, look, we don't know, but what's your guess as to why that sounds fun to somebody to take a super fun social experiment like this and just crap on it?
Define super fun.
It is super fun. You would have been excited if you had had the opportunity to pick up Hitchbot.
I mean, define excited.
What do you guys think is the mentality and the mindset of the person who destroyed Hitchbot? Explain it to me.
Hey, this is dumb.
So I don't understand it or enjoy it, so no one else should?
I don't know
that there's that much thought that went into it, but
I'm hoping it's a younger kid who just thought, oh, let's get Hitchbot, let's screw him up, let's take pictures, high five me, woo, we did this. It's just an immature kid that doesn't really understand that he ruined lives.
Like thank you, Allie.
He did ruin lives.
Yes.
He did ruin lives. Look, there was nothing bad about Hitchbot. The only thing that Hitchbot had two kinds of people, I thought. People who don't care about Hitchbot or people who think it's fun and are enjoying the journey. I didn't expect this third category of people who hate Hitchbot so much that they've got to ruin it for everybody else.
Well, I don't think they hated Hitchbot. I think it was just
an
opportunity.
They dismembered him, Kevin, and took pictures.
Right, I know, but I don't think it's because they really like wanted to bring him down. I don't think they even cared that much. It was just a...
You don't think on what's that internet? The dark web?
The dark...
There's just full pages about Hitchbot and how to get him.
I don't think so.
Well, I was very sad. I don't mind telling you.
Because you had such a good time following Hitchbot.
No, because it was a great experiment. It made you feel good about people. There aren't a lot of things that you see that make you feel good about people. And the fact that this robot could be out there in the wild, in the world, and go places through the kindness of strangers, that's refreshing. And that's nice. And now we can't have nice things.
You know what I feel bad about? One of his last memories is seeing a Red Sox game. They suck this year.
Yeah, that's
but the rough. Experience. He had the experience at Fenway. Right. I'm sure he enjoyed it anyway.
I hope he did.
First of all, it's not a he. It's a
RIP Hitchbot. Hopefully they'll build another one.
All right, let's talk about today's 70 show, shall we?
I'm back. Did I miss anything? Hey, there's a monkey in the booth.
On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we will talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Sure.
We are going to give you some highlights of the Ronda Rousey fight. She's unbelievable.
Are we going to have that kind of time to go through the whole fight?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. We might have to break it up into a couple of different hours.
And by the way, at what point are they going to stop lying to the world and advertising as 5 rounds of 5 minutes?
Well, I mean, it could have gone that long, technically.
Yeah, but, yeah, right. Could have.
Didn't. Maybe. Maybe it was only 34 seconds.
They should just start advertising it as, see Ronda Rousey for part of 1 round again.
I would have been fine with that, by the way. Yeah. I love it. I love watching her destroy people. And at 34 seconds, I was very happy.
Yeah, loved it.
On the program today, we're also going to go through the King of Mexico and Bean and Christine's weekend. And the fun they had. We're going to tell you about how you can help fund As I Am, the life and times of DJ AM. We're going to talk to the guy behind that. And we're going to give away some tickets for Fall Out Boy at K-Rock, performing live at K-Rock. That's coming up this morning. And the auto blow. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Our friend Ralph Garman is off being a movie star this week. Filling in for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Did you guys see any movies this weekend?
I did. I saw Mission Impossible.
Shocking.
All Louds.
Good. So good.
Yes.
So good.
So how good. Is that, that Tom Cruise, who's like 70 now?
Yeah.
It's still unbelievable, right?
Yeah, he's looked the same for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
There was some talk that maybe this movie wouldn't do as well just with the Scientology movie that came out going clear. Maybe people's ideas had really changed about Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Not so much.
Yeah, it did well.
Yeah, projected $40 million for the U.S. Did a little better. Debuted at $56 million.
What?
Yeah. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, $56 million. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad
for
them.
Not bad at all.
By the way, I don't think people are surprised anymore about the Tom Cruise thing. You know what I mean?
Either.
I feel like everybody sort of knows that, takes it into account. Does it bother you? No. Go to a movie.
And why should it?
Yeah,
Let's be honest. Coming in number two, Vacation. That debuted at $14.9 million, followed by Ant-Man, Minions, and Pixels. So that's your top five right there. Some pretty sad news over the weekend. On Friday, we lost wrestling legend Rowdy Roddy Piper. He suffered a heart attack on Friday and died at his home in the Hollywood Hills at the age of 61. He, of course, was a wrestling legend with more than 30 titles to his name. Inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2005, he's survived by his wife, Kitty, their four kids, including 3 daughters and his son, Colton, who's pursuing a career in professional wrestling. Mm. So his name might live on.
And let's not forget his greatest non-wrestling moment, Allie.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
I mean, legend.
Did any of you think that Ronda Rousey, who of course was given the name Rowdy, asked him, can I take it? Is everything all right? He bestowed it upon her. Everything's wonderful. Take it. Live. Have my name live on in this realm. Did you think she'd walk out to piping music? Bagpipes?
No.
Not at all?
No, that was a bit of a surprise.
She didn't.
No.
Yeah.
So, did you?
I did. I
oh,
really
you
did.
Thought she would do it as part of a
yeah,
tribute.
Yeah, kind
to
of a tribute
Rowdy, yeah.
to him.
Okay.
Sorry, Kevin. I just confused you right there.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
You're what? No. I thought she would walk out to piping music
gotcha.
As kind of a salute to him.
I guess Joan Jett has worked for her for so long that she does. Why screw up your pre-fight routine if it's been that successful?
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, but she did. You know, she did give him a shout out afterwards and.
She did.
Dedicated the fight to him, so that was nice.
We'll talk about that later, because I'm sure you're going to bring up Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. Almost crying.
I
like
love
a
Joe.
Man does
I
when
love
he
so
is moved by something. So stop making fun of me for crying at everything. Something that Kevin did cry about this weekend. We know that last week Snoop was stopped in Sweden, suspicion of drug use. Well, things are not going real well for Snoop in Europe. He was stopped on Saturday by financial police in southern Italy because he was carrying $422,000 in cash.
That seems like a lot of cash to carry around.
It seems like a lot of cash, and apparently I think the limit is 10 or 11 grand that you could bring over borders in Europe. But I
and in America, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to declare any money you bring into the country over $10,000. But here's what's happening with Snoop, I think, is, and I think there are a lot of traveling entertainers that do this. Hey, pay us in cash.
Absolutely.
That's
that makes sense.
That's what he's doing.
Bounce? Give me cash. Isn't going to bounce.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, maybe I'll forget exactly how much I made when it comes time to declare my income on my income taxes.
I think the takeaway here is leave Snoop alone.
Leave Snoop alone.
Seriously, the man is trying to bring joy to Europe, and you're arresting him left and right? Stop it.
Now, they're going to give that money back, most of it, right?
Yeah, apparently they hold half of it.
For what? What are they?
Just
investigation.
To investigate, and then usually they'll fine you a little bit of that and then give it back.
Yeah, they want to make sure. They want, what they want is for you to prove that it was obtained legally. That's what they want. Because country wants to be the country where people are bringing in all sorts of money from crime syndicates and things.
Right, but he's Snoop Dogg, and he does what he wants to do.
Right.
But
he's
how cool if he was laundering money. Like, who would ever suspect Snoop Dogg? But now we've broken up this huge syndicate. Oh, so way to go, Italy.
Nice job.
But that's not what they did.
No.
Snoop is a victim here. All right, you guys, we're going to have some TV news right now. You're a big Downton Abbey fan, are you not?
Love it.
Well, January 1st, you are going to be able to see something wonderful.
Okay.
They're going to be on a float. Why? They're going to be on a float for the Rose Parade. The cast of Downton Abbey, as you've never seen them before, just cruising down the street in Pasadena.
Hmm.
Is that right? It's kind of lame. But
that's weird.
Yeah, it's supposed to be plugging the fact that their show is going to air 2 nights later.
I mean, it's not really weird. Don't lots of television casts be in the Rose Parade? I mean, that's kind of a promotional opportunity for television, right?
Got to be honest, I don't know. I don't watch the Rose Parade, but it seems odd.
You don't watch the Rose Parade?
No.
I don't watch it either.
Who watches the Rose Parade?
No interest.
Why do you hate America?
I don't. I love America. I just don't like the Rose Parade. Why would you watch that?
Because it's beautiful.
Do you watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York as well?
Yeah, because one of those big flying Snoopies could go rogue.
Right, and you'll see a clip of that if it happens.
Oh, see it live? That's awesome. Just Bart Simpson's like flying down the street and all of a sudden people are running for their lives. That is exciting.
Not really.
Of all things you could watch, Kevin, I would think that would be
I'm just saying, how often has Snoopy gone rogue?
Twice.
I'm going to source you on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. All right, some reboot news for you guys. I know you're interested in the show One Day at a Time coming back. Huh? Right?
One Day at a Time.
What if it came back en español?
What if it didn't come back?
What
is that
if
an
it
option?
Did well, that is an option, but not to Norman Lear, the creator. He wants to bring it back, but a Latino version of One Day at a Time. He wants a grandmother on the show, so there's three generations of women. And he said, I love the idea because I don't see enough of that on air at any place. I think it's a rich idea. So,
okay.
Poor Cristela. She's like, I had that thing with the deal. Yeah, but this is something I stand behind. He's also mentioning a Good Times movie reboot in the works. What? Good Times. Dynamite.
Yeah, it's on.
Hello? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get to some birthdays. Let me wrap this up. Tony Bennett, he is 89 today. Martin Sheen, 75. Martha Stewart, 74. Metallica singer James Hetfield, he's turning 52. Actress Evangeline Lilly is 36. Model Carly Kloss, she is turning 23. And it says here, which I think is weird, cheating quarterback Tom Brady is 38. But that's exactly. I don't agree with that either, kid.
Sounds pretty accurate.
Allegedly.
Wait, how old is he saying he is?
38. Do you not agree with that?
He lies about everything else.
How dare you.
Boom!
That's alleged.
Exactly, young lady. Exactly. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Monday mornings, about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, we catch up with the king of Hollywood, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, live from the newsroom ahead of their morning meeting. Hey, Harvey, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Always appreciate you coming on. It's so funny. Dave Sanchez, our producer, the King of Mexico, was up visiting me in Seattle this weekend, Harvey, and we took a little bit of a road trip. And one of the things that Dave was talking about is how disappointed he is in Kylie Jenner and how she conducts herself on Instagram. And I thought, when did Dave turn into the dad?
What?
Wow. Dave said this?
Yes. Dave was like, she shouldn't be doing what she's doing on Instagram. That's inappropriate. She's underage. And I guess a lot of people have been making similar comments because, you know, for someone who's still 17, her Instagram is pretty racy. And now there's a new controversy about it.
There is. I have to start by saying I have been such a fan of Kevin and Bean for so long that it shocks me, given what I know about Dave, that he actually said that.
Yeah. Yes, I know. He's grown up.
Wow.
I questioned it as well. I was not there either, Harvey, so.
Oh, you're, that's the lead.
Right.
Okay, so there's a company called Pure Leaf, and it is a plumping cream company. And what it does is you supposedly put this, I mean, I should not talk about whether I believe in that this is real or not, but they say that if you put the cream on your butt and breasts, it will enhance and plump them.
Now, what does that mean? I mean, is this like for hundreds of years people have been advertising various snake oils to make your boobs bigger without surgery? I mean, is that what this is?
I did not know this, but Kylie posted a picture on Instagram of her, basically her boobs and butt, and they look plump. And
okay, said a grown man in the course of his job.
Good.
I don't know how to say this. And she is holding that product up. And so she's doing what looks like an endorsement for Pure Leaf. So a lot of people on Instagram, first of all, I mean, it is borderline sexual. And again, she is still not 18, although I think like 8 days away.
Yeah,
that's
a week. Yeah.
And she is pushing this product, it looks like. There are a lot of people who are pissed on Instagram saying that they believe that she got those from surgical knives and not from cream. Mm-hmm. The company then comes out and they say, look, this was an unsolicited endorsement. We didn't pay her for this. And she just did it because she wanted to. Now, they said they didn't pay Kylie. They did not say if they paid any money to anybody Kardashian-related, a corporation. I'm not suggesting they did.
Namely,
they
Chris.
They just said they didn't pay Kylie.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the final thing that I find most interesting is the company says that they're big on parental controls and they urge parents to get involved if the user is under 18. So, on a level, it feels kind of like an obtuse shot at Chris, you know, that her daughter is doing this on Instagram. But, you know, and then it makes me think, why do they need parental controls if somebody's just using a cream?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, this whole thing is really bizarre.
Do the Kardashians, not that this would be any evidence, 100% that there was a paid endorsement or anything like that, but do the Kardashians, are they they're the type of people who do tweet out and get paid for stuff, right? Or get products
all the time,
right?
A lot of money.
So this would be consistent with the family business if that's what was going on here.
Well, I mean, and she's holding this product up. And it looks almost professional.
Right.
So it just seems weird that she's doing this and, you know, out of the blue, when you look at it, you just got to look at it and you'll see what I'm talking about. But it feels like it's an ad.
How long till her porn tape, do you think?
God,
isn't that the track she's on? I mean, Kendall's got the modeling career. What is Kylie doing? Kylie's just turning into Kim. That's all she's doing at this point, right?
I can answer that. 8 days.
Yeah, I mean, it is the most, it's, do you remember, I mean, I think it was Miley before she turned 18, and everybody was kind of talking about, you know, that she was sexualized. She's like, you know, Amish compared to Kylie Jenner. And it is just unbelievable in the last year how sexual her, you know, Instagram, social media, you know, dating, how everything is. And, you know, it's funny because Chris hasn't uttered a peep about it. I mean, everybody seems okay with it. And she has just gone to a point where very few 17-year-olds do.
I agree. And I thought the same thing, Harvey. We'll move on here after this. I thought the same thing. And I can't even say what was on that T-shirt that she was wearing a couple of weeks ago that she put up on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah,
what parent in America lets their 17-year-old wear a T-shirt with that written on the front of it? I mean, she's so shockingly hands-off on this isn't she?
It just feels kind of like Kardashian Inc.
Yeah, it does. All right, let's talk about Britney, who's back in the news for a while. You've had a lot of good news on her over the past few years, and it looks like it continues. What's the latest on this conservatorship that apparently many believe saved her life when her parents stepped in and started running things for her?
You know what? It really did save her life. I don't even think you can say apparently anymore. If you remember, I mean, this was 7.5 years ago. She was circling the drain. I mean, she was her dad was saying privately that he was afraid he was going to get a phone call and was going to be the coroner.
Right.
And that was with some basis. So in the last 7.5 years, she has turned things around to the point where she was in danger of dying and losing permanent custody of her kids, she was so bad off that she is now a great parent. She's got a thriving career. I mean, what she's doing in Vegas, and nobody thought she could keep up the schedule. She's making a lot of money. She's a draw. She's been reliable, you know, and she's functioning. And this conservatorship has really done amazing things for her. It's stabilized her.
I sort of thought that at some point she would stabilize and then take it over herself, but this looks like it might be permanent.
Well, look, I mean, she's got some medical issues, and, you know, it's one of the reasons that all of that stuff happened 7.5 years ago. But what's happened is, you know, with really Jamie is the hero here, her dad, and he's been able to right the ship, and they have lawyers and they have doctors. And there are two conservatorships. There's a personal one for her and then a business one for her finances. And they've made tons of money. And she's, you know, given substantial freedom. And this is going to go on indefinitely. And what we're told is possibly for the rest of her life. But this is one where it's really a good thing. And it just works. It just works.
Does Brittany look at it like it's a good thing, do you think?
What I've heard is everybody's okay with
it.
And you know, and part of it is, look, I mean, her dad does have some control over her, and there are issues from time to time, but he gives her a lot of control over her life. And, you know, I think he's really been smart, and he realizes you can't, you know, hold somebody down with your thumb. And he's, you know, he's given her, you know, enough freedom where she feels it, and yet at the same time, he's able to protect her.
Well, that is that's great news. Obviously, we've seen so many of these stories go horribly wrong. So if this sticks, you know, more power. If it's working, don't mess with it. Right?
It's great.
All right, Harvey. Excellent work as always, sir. We'll let you get to your meeting. TMZ.com is the site. Look for TMZ and TMZ Live on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Reels channel. That's with a Z. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you again.
You too, guys. Yeah.
It is K-Rock Summer Sticker Time once again this year for 2015. We got a brand new K-Rock sticker. Beer Mug is going to be out at participating Hot Topic locations throughout the Southland for the next 3 weeks. He's got tickets you can win to Foo Fighters, that band right there, also Fall Out Boy and Rise Again, Social Distortion, so much more. And we're also asking you, as we do, to fill out the back of your sticker, mail it in, and you could be eligible to win some great prizes, including a 2015 Dodge Challenger. How about a trip to Mexico to see Muse? Or a $500 Hot Topic gift card. A lot of good stuff that go along with the K-Rock sticker. You can get all the details at krock.com.
Don't care. Tell me about Auto Blow.
Well, Kevin, you probably know more about Auto Blow than most of us do. The Auto Blow, which is the official name of something that when I was growing up, we just referred to it as the trucker's friend. But how would you describe what the Auto Blow is for folks who maybe don't know, Allie?
I don't know what the Auto Blow is.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Right. Mm. The Auto Blow, I'll figure it out. So this company... This company that makes the Auto Blow has come up with, I think, a genius idea, and I'm going to let one of the founders of the company explain it to you in this video.
My name is Brian Sloan, and I'm holding the world's first vaginal beauty pageant. In the next couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you why I'm doing this, how women can enter this contest to win up to $5,000, and how you can vote to determine who has the world's most beautiful vagina.
All right, so it's a vaginal beauty contest is what's happening here, you guys.
I'm the only one clapping.
It's pretty genius, right? Well, Allie, don't make up your mind yet, because let's find out. There could be some valuable cash and prizes for you if you win.
I make a machine called the Auto Blow, too, because I care about people. The Auto Blow comes with this mouth sleeve, which I admit is kind of weird looking.
All right. So the Auto Blow
comes with a mouth sleeve.
Well, I was questioning.
Well, the name of it is does have the word
blow. You would right. think a mouth.
Right. I know this is a difficult topic for us to talk about and still be able to talk about it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a little bit confusing, Allie, because it makes sense based on what the Auto Blow is used for that it would look like a mouth. Now it sounds like they're upgrading it, and it's not going to look like a mouth anymore.
Are they going to change the name?
I think they are. I think they're going to have to. I think you'd have to, right?
Yeah.
I would think so. Right.
But it gets the job done. My current project is to create a couple of super realistic vagina sleeves for the Auto Blow 2. But I want to optimize this process. I want to find out which vaginas men want reproduced onto the top of some new Auto Blow 2 sleeves so that they can receive the maximum level of enjoyment while using it.
So that whether you like them like this, like this, or whether you're a fan of this style, or whether you like them like this.
Okay, so basically happening is choose your vagina. Like, what's your favorite kind of vagina? So it's a two-part deal. So for ladies, you get to send in pictures of your stuff, and then anybody can vote on it, and the one that is the most popular with the crowd is the one that will win it, and that's the one whose vagina will end up being reproduced and put onto the device.
So basically, he thinks he's inventing the fleshbot.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
It
sounds like he doesn't realize it already exists.
It's there.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. Is wait, isn't this already, isn't this a thing?
This beauty pageant will get to the bottom of it.
The contest will work like this. You simply take a photo of your vagina. And we'd prefer if you'd use a digital camera instead of your phone.
To avoid people submitting vaginas they don't own, you'll need to hold a little piece of paper in the photo that says hashtag Autoblow Vaginal Beauty Contest.
By the way, it didn't occur to me that someone would try to game the system. Like, how would that even work if you sent in someone else's vagina? And then what, they fly you to Los Angeles and then they're disappointed because they find out yours is not the one you sent in?
I
guess that's what they're trying to avoid, I guess.
I know how that whole thing works.
But who would even think of that? Like, what would the advantage be of sending in somebody else's vagina?
Does this guy have anything to do with the Autoblow for real?
That's my question. Is this just some dude that wants pictures of vaginas? And my thought is no, listening to him. However.
However what?
However, $5,000 first prize doesn't sound too bad, does it, Allie?
Right?
All right, a little more, and then I'll tell you how the voting is going.
Okay, great.
The public will vote on our voting page, assigning from 1 to 10 stars to each vagina. If you're one of the top 3 winners, we'll fly you to Los Angeles to 3D scan your vagina. And hey.
By the way, did you realize that was happening? That your vagina is going to be 3D scanned? But of course it has to be. How else would they make it to look like yours, right? So you could be in Los Angeles having your vagina 3D scanned and get $5,000. And Allie, this is perfect.
USA!
You don't even have to travel.
USA!
I think we have enough to worry about than people like giving us a 2 on our vagina. Like, we're constantly looking at the website like,
you're like, come on, that's at least a 5.
Right? I've only got a 3. Cindy, I've got an 8. Like, it's just, it's too much. It's too much.
All right, let's hear the end of this.
And hey, I like all types, but we can't 3D scan hair. All submissions to our contest are totally anonymous.
By the way, and
wait,
here's my...
What?
We can't 3D scan hair. So does that mean that you have to shave before you send in your picture, or does that mean they can just ignore the hair and just do the other part?
I would think that means take care of business before you send it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's kind of discriminatory, isn't it?
Well, he did say he likes all kinds.
But for the purposes of the contest, okay.
So whether you're a porn star, a webcam model, or just a kind of regular woman who thinks that she has what it takes down below to win the Autoblow Vaginal Beauty Contest, we want to see your So ladies, what are you waiting for? Hold on your pants, take out your camera, and send us a picture of your vagina.
Can't tell you how many times we've said that on this show. All right, so
God.
If you're a porn star or a webcam model, or just a regular lady.
Just a regular lady. That really
sounds disappointed with regular ladies, didn't
you?
I'm on in the interest of due diligence and
research, sure.
And caring about the show.
Right.
I am on the vaginacontest.com page right now through Autoblow. And right now, currently, Nell, age 27 from the UK, is at the top of the vulva leaderboard. And by the way, Allie, this is gonna hurt you a little bit. She only has a 7.7, and she's the number one vagina in the world that's submitted so far, and she's only at a 7.7. You're right, man. This is an ego wake up call.
Yeah.
In second place right now, and eligible for the $2,500 prize, is Jenny, 23, from Bavaria, with a 7.3, and Anita, age 20, from Hungary, is in third place right now. So basically, the U.S. is shut out.
We got to step it up.
Step it up,
American
people.
Vaginas.
Let me scroll down. Let me see how many we got. 150, 180, 100. It goes down to 185. I'm sorry to say, Jennifer, age 52, from Hollywood, is at the bottom of the leaderboard right now with a 1.8.
She has a 1.8.
Her vagina is under 2.
She's not going to win. Just give her a 2. Really? You got to go 1.8?
And she is in 185th place. So
can't breathe right now.
Not a good showing for America, I'm sorry to say. But ladies, good luck. Hope you win.
What about the butt?
It's a good question.
I do feel bad during that auto blow conversation a few minutes ago to get the tweet from the listener who says, really awkward listening to Kevin and Bean right now with my dad. I apologize for that, young lady.
Yeah.
We didn't, weren't trying to put you in an awkward conversation with Pops. We'll move on now to something a little more family-friendly. Allie is here with the Showbiz Beat in for Ralph Garman on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Isn't that the worst? It's always when you're watching a movie and a sex scene comes on that your parents walk into the room. And we were that sex scene. That's what just happened.
That's
in
what
that
just
car.
Happened, yeah.
So, very sorry about
that.
All right, let's start off with some box office news. Kevin was one of the ones helping this along. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Projected $40 million for the U.S. opening, and they thought that was even pretty okay.
By the way, let me just say, that seems low.
It does seem low. That's why I think they kind of lowered their expectations for this, and not really sure why, since it did very well, debuting at $56 million, which not too shabby for your U.S. opening.
Well, considering we've already heard that they're in plans to make a sixth movie.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going strong.
How great was Simon Pegg?
Always great.
So good.
And he's better than every movie he's in. I love him.
He's wonderful. Coming in second was Vacation. That debuted at $14.9 million, followed by Ant-Man at $12.6 million, Minions $12.2 million, and Pixels rounding out the top five at $10.4 million. Speaking of movies, it comes out Friday, August 14th, Straight Outta Compton. You guys excited for this?
Yes.
NWA.
So very. And you guys know I never go to the movies.
Right.
I might go to this one.
Really?
Tell us afterwards.
I'm really that excited.
That's great. But tell us afterwards if you win.
Well, you can get pumped up because Dr. Dre is set to release his first album in 15 years.
Yay!
That is coming out this Friday. It's going to be released through Apple's new streaming music service, of course.
I'm glad to hear that because I forgot about Dre.
Wow.
And now he's he's back.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, we got it.
Dre said he felt himself being so inspired by the movie that he wanted to record an album. This is his quote. It's going to be my grand finale. The record is bananas. End quote. I believe him.
I do too.
I believe him.
So Friday, right?
That is out this Friday on Apple's new streaming
service.
Like you
said, a week from Friday.
No, the movie comes out Friday, August 14th.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay. It's okay, Kevin.
My bad. Back to you.
Still thinking about Autoblow?
Mm-hmm.
It happens. All right. Moving on to some diapers and baby products. Do you guys know about Jessica Alba's company? It's called The Honest Company.
I do not.
Yeah, and she's made like $1 billion off it or something,
right?
At least.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, household products and what good for the environment, good for the baby, good for everyone. Well, apparently not so good for some parents. Some huge complaints coming out about the SPF 30 sunscreen that's not providing any real protection from the sun.
Really?
That is what parents are saying. And they're showing the ineffectiveness by tweeting pictures of kids' horrible sunscreens going on websites and basically saying it's not doing so hot with protecting the kids.
Isn't the thing about little babies is you're supposed to put like SPF 100 on them when they go out, right?
And
like they're super, super, super sensitive skin.
Over and over and over. And here's an idea with your baby. Maybe just not in direct sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a hat, maybe some clothing. But that's just me, a baby.
That little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
What?
Really good point. So really, does sunscreen matter at this point?
Right.
Oh, that's a horrible soundbite.
It's a terrible soundbite.
Don't look at me. Talk to Pat Robertson.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk to him. Other baby news. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan have announced via Facebook that she's pregnant with a little girl.
And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
That is not.
I don't believe that to be true on this one.
No
word yet on when the baby's due. And Charlize Theron has adopted a baby girl. She adopted
that little baby to grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
Why would you say that?
I don't know, man.
Oh, wow. She adopted the little girl last month, and that little girl will be a sibling for 4-year-old Jackson, who she also adopted. So she's doing some wonderful work out there, especially since she broke up with Sean Penn.
Mm.
I say adopt all sorts of babies and raise them right. Speaking of Sean Penn, This is a very odd story, but apparently Madonna's son, Rocco, began calling Sean Penn right after he and Charlize broke up because he wants his mom to get back together with Sean. He felt that maybe they're connected. They're the ones that are supposed to be together for all time.
Well, let's let mom decide that.
Maybe that's a great idea. Maybe let mom and Sean decide that. But way to go, Rocco, getting right in there. And some more baby news. This is pretty much the baby report.
That little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
That might be true with this. This is about Chris Brown's kid. Apparently, the baby's mother, Nia Guzman, has filed documents with the court to request that visits with little baby royalty be supervised. Apparently, she does not believe that his friends are worthy of being around her child because she thinks they're on drugs, that they party too much.
I would have some concerns about leaving my infant with Chris Brown as well.
Yeah, I think that's not really a bad move on her part. But he, of course, is convinced it's a ploy for more money, and he's now angling for joint custody.
That would be bad.
Yeah, no more baby news for right now. Let's talk about birthdays. Tony Bennett, he is 89 today. Martha Stewart, 74. James Hetfield, we love him. Metallica singer, 52 years old. Evangeline Lilly is 36. Model Carly Kloss is 23. Isn't she one of Taylor's
squad? Yeah, she is. Yeah. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl, though. Yes, she is.
Speaking of squad, did you see them post a picture from Taylor Swift concert?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, squad goals is what they captioned it. I can't with you guys.
I can't either.
Also, can't with what's about to happen when I announce that it's Tom Brady's 38th birthday. Go ahead. What are you doing?
That's such a big liar.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's his birthday. He is 38 years old today. Happy birthday, Tommy.
He is a dick.
Nope.
It's true.
No, he is not.
That guy speaks truth.
No. That guy's an idiot. That guy we just heard from is an idiot. I'm Allie McKay, and for Rob Garman, walking the show is beat.
We're going to break down the Ronda Rousey fight coming up in about 15 minutes, and then we'll talk to the filmmaker who's behind the documentary about the life of DJ AM. By the way, Kevin, have you seen that trailer yet? That movie looks amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It does look great.
First, though, big weekend here in Seattle, Washington, USA, with Dave, King of Mexico, our producer, and assistant producer Christine Fung, who both came up to visit. And before you mock our weekend, Kevin, let me ask you this. I've had lots of visitors up here.
Yeah.
Nicole has been up to visit and stay with me. Mm-hmm. Chip has been up to visit to stay with me.
Right.
Lightning has been up. Every single one of those people who comes back goes, hey, had a great time. Bean was a great host. We really enjoyed ourselves. I'm glad I went. It was a lot of fun. Why is it you always anticipate it's going to be a disaster every time somebody comes up to visit?
You're not the king of fun.
Yet Dave has been up. Fourth visit to see me in Seattle, by the way? So Dave keeps coming back, so clearly he's having a good time.
Dave is bringing the fun with him.
I love it.
Maybe it's just different fun. Kevin, can you look at it like that? It's not your kind of fun, but does that negate the fun?
Yeah, it's just not fun.
All right, then.
Just isn't. Okay, so Dave flies up on Friday, and then Friday night sleeps outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
what's your problem with that?
Well, I have two problems. One is, why can't Mexicans sleep in the house? That's one.
No bedrooms. The bedroom was being used up by associate producer Christine.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was one. And so Bean, nicely enough, put a nice comfy bed outside with a beautiful view. And it was awesome. I don't know why it's a bad thing. Seattle's not – like, it's not cold. There's no bugs. So it was like it was perfect conditions.
It was very comfortable for Dave until the sun came up the next morning, and then he felt like an ant under a magnifying glass.
Yeah, that hurt. But
why did you have a bed on the porch?
Well, we always have a bed on the porch.
But why?
Because it's comfort. It's a nice place to sit out and look over the water and read a book or
People
whatever.
People use just couches.
I guess you could put a couch in there. It happens to be a bed, but
I would have slept on the couch too. Doesn't matter.
It's very comfortable, and Dave was fine with it. I know you thought that we were giving him the short shrift by having him sleep outside, but Dave had a good night's sleep and enjoyed it, and woke up to a beautiful sunrise.
Dave did call the Afro line, if you don't mind me playing.
Oh,
that,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, just to, give me the update.
Hey, Kevin, it's about 10:45, and I'm sleeping outside, but the moon is out. I could hear the seals. This is great, dude. You're missing out. I wish you could be here, man. You need to come hang out at Bean's house. It's awesome. All right, man. Time with bed. Good night.
Was Dave trying to get you to come and get in his bed with him?
That was
Dave's sexy voice.
Kevin, well, I wish you were here with me.
Yeah, it's kind of weird talking to like an answering machine. We don't, I'm trying not to wake anyone.
The bed is so lonely without you, Kevin.
Kevin, come and check out the seals. My seals.
Yeah. We can make some noise too.
It just got very creepy. But then there was the follow-up call.
Hey, Kevin. It's about 12:10. It's freaking cold outside, dude. All right, man. See you later.
Okay.
It
got a little chilly. I had to get under the covers.
All right, man. See you later. That was it. So he got under the covers, and then
yeah,
he was
then
fine.
It was fine until then the sun fine. Came up and burned my face. But, you know, that was good stuff.
He came to your house, and you made him sleep outside.
Here's the thing. I was like, what the heck, sleeping outside, until I saw the picture.
Yeah, I tweeted a picture of it.
Dave right. posted a picture. Uh-huh. It looked like somewhere I would sleep all the time. It was beautiful.
Is that why everybody else was out there with Dave, or was it just Dave?
Just Dave.
Oh, how about
just
that?
Dave. That's a good
so
point.
All of the people that were there uh-huh. didn't want to sleep outside.
No,
because Dave got because Dave as the guest there. Of honor got the bed. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then Saturday they drive up to Vancouver. How long did that take? Was that a 3-hour drive like you thought?
Yeah, about three hours.
Yeah.
You get up to Vancouver and you go have lunch with your radio buddy that you talk about Pluto all the time?
No, we ended up not getting in contact with him. We weren't sure exactly. We didn't really have a tight schedule in terms of when we were going to leave or what time we were going to get there, so we never really firmed up a time.
What could that guy be doing?
Dodged a bullet there.
So yeah. we drove into downtown Vancouver. We just parked the car and we just started walking around. We yelped a great Chinese restaurant, had some lunch, walked around a little bit more, and then went off to the concert. It worked out perfect. Timing-wise, it worked out perfect. It was beautiful, beautiful afternoon in the city. Neither Dave nor Christine had ever been to Vancouver
yeah,
before.
Yeah, awesome.
So they really, really enjoyed seeing it, and then we just went to the show and had a tremendous time.
That sounds great as long as you don't put the name Taylor Swift in before show.
What are you talking about?
All right, here my whole thing, Kevin. You know how you have seen Paul McCartney in concert,
yeah.
not intentionally, but you just happen to be at a place where Paul McCartney is, and you always come back from that, and I was thinking about this weekend. You've come back from that, and you've said, I don't like Paul McCartney. I don't care about Paul McCartney. But he really puts on a good show. He sounds great. He's got a great voice. He puts on a great stage show. He's got a lot of songs. It's a good show if you like Paul McCartney. That's how you need to start looking at Taylor Swift. Maybe you don't
You're
care for her.
You're not comparing Taylor Swift and Paul McCartney, are you?
No, what I'm comparing is you should be able to say that music's not for me, but I can still appreciate that that person is a good entertainer. That person, it's still possible that they put on a great show. It's just not the music I enjoy listening to. And I think that this mocking of the Taylor Swift concert, I think, is because you just don't care for her songs. But I think objectively, you have to look at her and go, she's a tremendous entertainer.
No! What do you mean objectively? That's 100% subjective.
Her concert is one of the best I've seen.
It's one of the best.
Yeah,
it's one of the
best
out there.
Plenty of concerts.
It's not objectively, though, right?
No, I'm saying you don't like her music. So take the music out of it. And look at what else is going on in terms of the dancing and the singing and the stage presence and the and just the entertainment value. She puts on a tremendous show. May not be for you, but it's a great show. And Dave and Christine, I think, loved it.
She's a bitch.
Come on, Kevin. Game got to recognize game, yo.
Game do have to recognize game. That's actually true.
Shut the F up. Yeah. And second of all, here's the call that I got from Dave.
Hey, Kevin. It's me and Christine here at the Taylor Swift Show. Dude, you're missing the kid. Freaking concert, man. You should have came. All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
See you in bed later.
I don't feel like Dave was at the concert when he made that call.
I miss Kev Dog this weekend. This sounds like it.
You needed me to be there to snuggle with you?
No, I want you to be there and enjoy it with us, man. It was good times.
Yeah.
It was good times.
I'm really
Kevin.
Sorry I missed it.
Come on, Kevin.
I would have loved to have gone to that, but
let me tell you what the craziest part of the weekend was, and people who have listened to the show know that I'm guy who likes to be in bed by 8 p.m. guy. Is that we drove to Vancouver, saw a concert that got out around, it was, what was it, Dave? It was 10 o'clock or so?
It was about 10:50.
Okay, so it's closer to 11
o'clock. Yeah, closer to 11, yeah.
And then drove back to Seattle after the concert, which means we pulled into my driveway at 3:10 a.m.
Why?
Me!
Why?
Me!
Thanks, Border Patrol. Jesus.
Me up
Were they worried about you, Dave?
3 o'clock in the morning.
Was Donald Trump at the border making sure you didn't get back?
No more Mexicans. The biggest MMA star in the world is a woman. And don't you think every time you watch a Ronda Rousey fight as the one that aired this Saturday night from Brazil, Kevin, don't you think about how funny it is that 4 or 5 years ago, Dana White was like, nope, yep. there will never be a woman in the UFC.
Not just there isn't, but there will never be.
There will never be. Yeah. And he is, he has a good sense of humor about it, too. He has laughed that he said that now that his biggest star and biggest moneymaker is Ronda Rousey. But every time you tune in to one of her fights, it's over in no time, and you're so happy. I felt like I got my money's worth, even though it was a 34-second fight. Didn't you?
If that was the only fight I saw, I would have felt like
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Just the build-up to it, too, was just – it was
all the
so
talk and
fun
smack, and she was mentioning Betch was mentioning, like, her dad, and that's a super ugly story, and then that got really ugly. It was just insanity, and it ended in 34 seconds.
Which is a long fight for Ronda compared to the last two.
Twice as long as the last couple. I mean, that's crazy to think that – you're that dominant. That anybody's that dominant.
Yeah, and by the way, the thing about Ronda is she has beaten almost every one of her opponents in her UFC fights with the armbar. She's had a couple of knockouts, and this was another one. I mean, I've never seen her move as fast as her fists. It was fists of fury, is what it was. Her fists rained down on that lady's face. I mean, it was crazy. She was a punching bag.
And when she knocked her out, she knocked her out on her feet. So she was sort of falling, but she was 100% out halfway down to the mat.
Yep.
Just out.
Yeah.
She sure was.
It was crazy. Here's the end of it.
Ronda's hand speed, unbelievable. Down goes Cohen. Ronda's teeing off on her here.
Ronda trying to finish it.
She's in trouble. Ronda with the knee now. Betch Cohen is in big trouble. Just like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Again.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. She's unbelievable.
Wow.
This is a joke.
Crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow.
All right, Joe.
Man.
Right.
I'm speechless.
No, you're not.
She is just spectacular. She is better than she's ever been before, and she was already the best. She just keeps getting better. She's terrifying.
Joe's in love.
Joe is a guy who has fought and was Massachusetts State champ for like 4 years in a row or something like that in Taekwondo?
Yeah, he's got some credentials, right.
He really knows what he's talking about. So then after the fight, they announce she's the winner, and Joe interviews her.
Edge!
Yes.
Before you get to that, I love that I love when Ronda turned away after the fight and she mouthed "Don't cry." I loved that so much.
Yeah,
to Betch Herrera, because she had said that to her at the weigh-in and everything. "Don't cry" was just — this is the thing about Ronda. Ronda never forgets a slight. She never forgets a bad thing. It's just like what she did at the ESPYs when she called out Floyd Mayweather. She'd been sitting on that for like a year and a half when Floyd Mayweather, she thought, pretended he didn't know who she was.
Right.
And then he's like, well, I guess Floyd Mayweather knows who I am now. You know, I mean, she just – it's hilarious to me. And I feel like I don't understand. I mean, she is a one-of-a-kind champion, but I do feel like she manages to take any kind of adversity, whether it's something serious like what happened with her dad, or whether it's just it's trash talking from another fighter. And she manages to turn that into fuel that she uses to turn herself into a much better fighter. She manages to channel all her energy in the right direction, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there are a lot of fighters who get angry, and that's a big negative.
Right,
because
right.
They're not solid. They're not thinking straight.
Yeah, they get too much in their head, but she uses that, and man.
It was devastating.
Her. And still, the undisputed UFC bantamweight champion of the world, Ronda Rousey.
And then Joe introduces her.
Good Lord, Ronda. Just good Lord. Look, that, first of all, congratulations. Was there anything surprising to you about this fight?
No, not really. It was kind of went how expected, but I just want to say we lost a really close friend, Roddy Piper, who gave me permission to use his name as a fighter, and so I hope him and my dad had a good time watching this today.
Rest in peace, Rowdy Roddy. Is this more satisfying to you to win like this, to beat her at her own game?
Well, I hope that nobody really brings up my family anymore when it comes to fights, and I hope this is the last time.
It's an honor to call you fights. It really is. You're the best ever. You're just a true once-in-a-lifetime human being, and I just want to tell you, I'm just beyond honored to call this fight.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a...
Aww.
He was tearing up a little bit, wasn't he?
He was. And he wound up saying on Twitter, he said, I woke up to a parade of tweets calling me a bitch for almost crying during the interview. Guilty as charged. But I loved seeing that because it's emotional.
Yeah.
And he has so much respect for her and so much respect for what she has brought to the sport that it does make you tear up a little bit.
Watching her fights, it's not just like watching a fight. It's like watching some unbelievable historical figure that's never existed before. She does something just so undeniably special. This is, I mean, I'm just humbled, man. I'm humbled. I really am. She's different than any fighter I've ever seen fight ever. She's just so unusual in so many ways and just so damn good.
So Joe likes her, doesn't like her?
Yeah, I think he likes her.
Something staggering about that woman. I really do feel like
we got it, Joe.
She's just some incredible historical figure.
Now, you mentioned that. Hey, I have another question about the fight, Kevin, and maybe you noticed this as well. The fight lasted how long?
34 seconds.
Okay. How did you have time, Allie, during the fight to tweet, finish her?
Oh, I did. It was when the knee happened. I was like, oh, it's on. So I just, in all caps, wrote finish her because I hear that game happening and I'm like, finish her.
So the fight was only 34 seconds. And you half watched it though because you spent at least 10 of those seconds composing and posting your tweet.
I tweet real quick.
Here's the weird thing is that Rhonda went over and checked Twitter.
Right.
And saw that message.
She's like, oh, Allie needs me to finish her.
I get it.
Because that was helpful information right when Rhonda needed it most because she didn't know how she was going to get out of that fight until she saw your tweet.
I feel like, you know, when people tell you, hey, I was there when Muhammad Ali fought Sonny Liston.
Right.
I was there when I got to see Mike Tyson beat Trevor Burbick. That's what I feel like when I watch her fight. I feel like this isn't just watching a fight. This is watching something you're going to get a chance to tell your children about. You're going to get a chance to tell your grandchildren about.
I support you, Joe.
And to call her fights, to be able to call her fights is... I don't use that word lightly at all. It is a real honor.
So you're glad to be there, Joe? Or
unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
Come on, Kevin. Are you bringing in records from home now? What's happening? What's the deal? Stick to what we're supposed to be playing.
Third Eye Blind, man.
Hey,
what's happening?
If you were making a music documentary or a music video, you couldn't do much better than the man who's on the phone right now. Kevin Kerslake is going to be joining us in a second. He's worked with Lana Del Rey, did the Bob Marley documentary, Electric Daisy Carnival documentary, videos for The Offspring, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Stone Temple Pilots, Green Day, Cypress Hill, Nirvana. The list goes on and on and on. And he is back with a new project that just sounds fascinating. It's called As I Am, The Life and Times of DJ AM. Listen up.
Hi, I'm Kevin Kerslake, director of As I Am, The Life and Times of DJ AM, a documentary on the open format pioneer. Sneakerhead, groundbreaking DJ, poster boy for sobriety, Adam Michael Goldstein, a.k.a. DJ AM, was a force of nature. Break it down! Break it down! Overcoming a monumental amount of adversity throughout his entire life to become one of the most influential DJs on the planet, AM changed the course of music history forever.
The documentary looks fascinating. We're in the final push now to see this thing get completed and released. Kevin, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm fantastic.
It's our pleasure. So you came to this project well after the death of DJ AM. How'd you get involved?
I had actually shot AM a number of times throughout his career, especially at the bigger events in the last year of his life, Hard, Haunted Mansion, and Electric Daisy Carnival. And I dedicated actually that movie to him. And then throughout that, the last year of his life and following that with all the tributes, I provided the family with a number of images and videos basically for various tributes. And AM's mom actually asked me to make a documentary on her son. And so I accepted it was an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. So,
what was it about him that stood out?
I think he really distinguished himself, actually, amongst other DJs in terms of his skills. I mean, a lot of DJs nowadays, they just press play at the beginning of their set. But
to be fair, they jump up and down as well.
Oh, yes, they put their arms up in the air. But AM worked every second of his sets. And and really had the skills and the passion for all sorts of music to include them in his sets. But also, I think, you know, off the decks, I think A.M. distinguished himself in terms of his service to others. He battled a lifelong struggle with sobriety and substance abuse, and really helped others, on the road to recovery. And then finally, when in 2008, he and Travis Barker actually survived a plane crash that killed a number of others, including their best friends, and that pulled him back into that struggle.
And from what I understand, because he was so young and such a child of the internet and social media age, he had video and pictures and audio recordings of pretty much everything he'd done, right? And you talk about a wealth of material. Talk about a documentary in best case scenario is too much material, right?
Yeah, a blessing and a curse. I think he was a digital pack rat. So when AM's mom gave us his laptops, you know, there were almost 70,000 to 80,000 photos on there, about 20,000 videos, and going through all that stuff, and as well as the stuff that wasn't on there, was Herculean.
we're talking to director Kevin Kersick on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to Indiegogo.com and search As I Am for information about this film. Now, help me understand this. The movie is basically done. The final push, what you're raising money for now, is music clearance rights and distribution, right?
Yes. The movie's been independently produced and self-financed up until now, really to maintain its integrity and to keep away the outside forces that oftentimes start to shape the story possibly away from the truth, you know, into more commercial territory. This is an amazing story. It doesn't really need any help in that regard. But we wanted to keep the independent nature going throughout the distribution as well. And so now, AM spun very expensive music. I mean, and to have a film about him, for it to be authentic, you really need to include his everything that he did. So your contribution basically helps us get across the finish line with those costs, as well as getting it out to the world.
How many songs do you think you're trying to get clearance for? I bet it's 100.
Double that, probably.
Really?
200?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's expensive.
You talk to a lot of DJs, colleagues, and friends?
We talked to, yeah. I did over 100 interviews, actually, on camera, and then probably double or triple that off camera. And that the people that we interviewed include Jazzy Jeff, Steve Aoki, Dr. Drew actually is in it, John Favreau, the list goes on and on, Diplo. I think that from the DJ world, we had all the top dogs. From the world of addiction and recovery, mm-hmm. We had a number of experts, as well as dozens of very, very close friends.
So you're trying to raise $125,000, and you are currently at $88,000?
We're doing well. Yeah, this is the second week actually of the launch, and the first week was pretty amazing.
Let's get the absolute up to the minute information. You know, Dave Sanchez, producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, is always on the site, ready to give us an update. What is it, Dave?
We are currently at 88559
okay.
of the 125,000 goal.
Dave, it's $88,559 of $125,000. Say it like a person, okay?
Okay, 88559.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. What's the I suspect, as beloved as DJ AM was, Kevin, I suspect you're going to hit your goal. What's the plan for distribution? Are we talking theaters or what?
Yeah, we want to be out in theaters first, nationwide, actually globally. But I think right now our first wave is nationwide, then go digital with iTunes and Amazon. And then finally we're going to end up on a premium cable channel.
Oh, great. It sounds fantastic. Like, especially for a DVD release or some kind of digital release, you have hundreds of hours of stuff to choose from. How do you narrow that down?
Yeah, actually, the bonus features on this will be pretty enticing, because what I'd like to do is actually release all of, or a bottled up version basically of every interview, include that on the bonus features, as well as various sets that AM did in their entirety, whether it's audio or video, including that, if it exists.
That's great.
But, yeah, we've got hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Go to Indiegogo.com and search As I Am to see more about the project and to contribute. Last question for you, Kevin, and we really appreciate you coming on, is you were friends with DJ AM, as you said, and worked alongside him. What do you remember most about him?
You know, I think that his spirit, he was always up and just had this spirit that just was so infectious. And I think that his passion for music, you know, it shone through in his skills, and I think that everything else about him really had this, you know, he always had his foot on the floor. And I think that what I remember most really is his drive.
Gotcha. All right, well, great project. Very much looking forward to the movie. Urging our listeners to go to Indiegogo.com, search As I Am. Kevin Kreslach, thanks so much for coming on. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet.
Congratulations to Joanne East from Redondo Beach. Joanne East from Redondo Beach is going to be going to the Kaboom Music Festival. Very exciting.
We gave away a bunch of tickets last week to this music festival coming up in Del Mar with No Doubt, The Killers, and 311, and so much more. But Joanne gets a limo ride to and from, and also a hotel for four nights and VIP tickets for the festival. Pretty good deal. So she is the winner of Road Trip Destination Number 4 from the world-famous K-Rock. So way to go, Joanne. Speaking of giveaway stuff, by the way, we haven't talked about this yet on the air, but a little band called Fallout Boy is going to be here next week at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. They are allowing us to stock the pond a little bit with some Fallout Boy fans. So if that's you, if you love the band, and particularly if you know their music, familiar with a lot of songs from Fallout Boy, you're who we're looking for right now at 1-800-520-1067. After the top of the hour, we'll give you a chance to earn your way in to see Fallout Boy performing live in the Red Bull Sound Space. And I think it's going to be an acoustic performance, so it'll be something kind of special and something kind of different. All right, call on now.
Ralph's out today. Here's Allie McKay with the Showbiz Beat.
All right, let's start you guys off with a little box office. Number one, we all thought it would happen. However, I'm not sure why they only projected $40 million for the U.S. opening. But Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, well, they did $16 million better, coming in with their debut of $56 million.
And what was your favorite part about it, Allie? I know you love the Mission Impossible franchise.
The part where he's, like, hanging off stuff, and he's like, whoa, am I going to die? And we're like, no, I hope you don't. And then he's like, I won't.
Wow, it's like I was there.
Yeah, it's like I was, too.
Allie, and refresh my memory again, why have you not seen, again, another one of the world's most popular movie franchises starring one of the world's biggest stars?
Super busy.
Too busy.
Too busy for the last 10 years to see any of the Mission Impossible movies?
Yeah, real busy.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Is that your type of movie?
It kind of is, though, because I like the Bourne movies, but I don't know.
Well, what is it that when you see the trailers for the Mission Impossible movies, and they all look awesome, mm-hmm. what is it that turns your yes into a no?
I guess the fact that I know he's going to be fine. Like, I don't need to watch this. He's going to be okay.
But it's Mission Impossible.
But it is possible, because it's not always possible.
At the beginning.
But isn't that true of most movies that you go to? You know Chris Pratt's going to survive Jurassic World, but you still want to see how he does it.
No, I don't.
Okay.
This is why you fail.
Exactly.
You bring Mini up a Yoda. Good point, Mini Yoda. We need to shut Mini Yoda up.
Nope.
Okay.
Never happened.
Moving on. Number one, of course, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, like I said. Number two, Vacation, debuting at $14.9 million. That's not bad, right?
I don't think so, yeah.
Not bad at all. Number three, Ant-Man, $12.6 million. Four, Minions at $12.2 million. And Pixels, rounding out the top five, at $10.4 million. This next story, it's quite frankly a room divided on who we should feel bad for here.
Okay.
And I say I feel bad for humanity.
Okay.
Because we've got to pour one out for Hitchbot.
Yeah.
Our hitchhiking robot that captured the hearts of fans across the world. If you didn't know about this, he's basically this robot that has a GPS tracker. He takes pictures every 20 minutes, and he relies on the kindness of strangers to move across the country. He's got Hitchbot social media. You can keep track of him. He went throughout Canada, throughout Europe without a problem. But he met his demise in where? The worst state in the U.S. Pennsylvania. Philly.
to be specific.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Exactly. He started out in Marblehead, Massachusetts. The great people of that state took him to a Red Sox game. He had a great time. He moved down the coast, went to New York. Everything was wonderful until he got to Philly. And something real bad happened. There are pictures on social media that they didn't even want to post because they wanted to protect young fans that might be distraught. Basically, they did a number, the city of brotherly love, to old Hitchbot.
Yeah.
Bean, you care. I care.
I care very deeply. I am disgusted by humans at this point. I really am.
Kevin does not care.
What?
Look, how do you care very deeply?
Because I think
it's a robot.
Because it's a reflection on us, though. It's a reflection on us as people that we can't have nice things, that we couldn't take something that was fun and cool and just roll with it and enjoy it. Look, if you don't care about Hitchbot, ignore Hitchbot.
Drive on by, Hitchbot.
Walk on, Kevin. Walk on, as a wise man once said. Walk on. But why be the dick who destroys Hitchbot so that nobody else can have fun with Hitchbot? Hitchbot, by the way, wanted to be in San Francisco. Hitchbot wanted to go to Hollywood. Hitchbot wanted to go to the Grand Canyon.
Hitchbot didn't want any of that because
none of those things are going to happen.
Hitchbot had a bucket list, Kevin, of things that Hitchbot wanted to do.
It's a robot.
Well, it's dead now. Yeah. I hope you're happy.
Way to go, Kevin.
What?
And that is right.
No, it is not. I say tonight we all pour one out.
Yeah.
For the homie Hitchbot.
Right.
Yeah?
Mm.
All right. Another, this is why we can't have nice things. Ariana Grande, her dog is now a model.
Her dog is a model.
Her dog is a model.
Guaranteed, Dave the King of Mexico follows her dog.
Not only that, he's the one that handed me the story, and I thought, there's no way I'm doing this story until I looked into it. And now I respect
because
both her and her dog. Because this dog is a model for Coach. And you may be saying, okay, great.
That's a handbag company?
A handbag. But they have partnered with Coach Pups and No Kill LA. That's a Best Friends Animal Society initiative. They want to make Los Angeles the nation's largest no-kill city by 2017. So her little pup, Toulouse, I guess named after the French city, they have partnered to bring awareness to this wonderful initiative. And she tweeted, "Proud of my babe, to Lucy Goosey, from rescue to runway, I love you with all my heart."
Hmm. Well, so, I mean, I don't need to see Ariana Grande's dog, but I support the cause. I'm all for no-kill shelters if we can get there.
And if her, I think she has like a zillion followers, maybe 20 of them go and buy a little Coach, and that money goes, I say, good for you, Ariana. Good for you.
Kevin, you hate this too?
To Lucy Goosey.
I'm with you. I don't care about the dog, but I care about the issue.
What about Hitchbot? Do you care
Hitchbot,
yet?
Hitchbot, I don't care at all.
Still no?
Not even a little bit, no.
All right, these stars all born on August the 3rd. We have got James Hetfield, the singer for Metallica. He is 52 today. Actor Isaiah Washington is also 52. Evangeline Lilly, she is turning 36. Actress Hannah Simone, she's 35. Model Carly Kloss is 23. And keep that bell going for Tom Brady.
Liar! You liar! Asshole!
Allegedly. He is 38 years old. A happy birthday from me and everyone else with a kind heart that believes in you, Tommy.
Wow.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Agreed.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show this week.
Big, big show at the Hollywood Bowl Monday night is going to be Fall Out Boy with Wiz Khalifa. This is their Boys of Zummer tour. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to that show and also a private visit to K-Rock to see Fall Out Boy performing acoustic on The Kevin and Bean Show. All of that up for grabs right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we'll call Real Boy, Fake Boy.
Oh, yeah.
To win tickets to the show, all you have to do is know.
Is it a real boy or fake boy?
Uh-huh. You guessed it, real or fake. That's all it really takes. And you'll be
a private performance with Kevin and Bean.
With your booty going shake, shake, shake.
Oh, yeah.
A real boy. Fake boy.
Yeah.
I don't know, but now we're out of time. Don't have time to play the game. So if you're a Fall Out Boy fan, this one's pretty easy. We're going to give you the song title of a Fall Out Boy song. Or is it? You just have to tell if it's a real Fall Out Boy song or if it's just something we made up. And if you're right, you go into the drawing. Allie, you'll keep track for us and find out who wins the tickets, okay?
Sure.
All right. Who's our first contestant?
Right, let's start with Tatiana in La Crescenta.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, Tatiana. Again, listen up. I'm going to read a song title. You just tell me whether it's a real Fall Out Boy song or a fake Fall Out Boy song title. Here we go. Snitches and talkers get stitches and walkers.
Real.
That is real. You are nicely in the done. Drawing. Well done. See, it's easy if you know the songs.
Yeah, they have wacky titles. Let's go to Georgina in Port Hueneme. Hey, Georgina.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Georgina. All right, here's your song title. Real or fake? $20 nosebleed.
Real.
Real indeed.
Nicely done.
By the way, I need to hear that song. I need to hear about a $20 nosebleed. All right, two for two.
Carol and Irvine, hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Carol, listen up. Your Fall Out Boy song title is The Pros and Cons of Breathing.
It's real.
It is real.
Nicely
wow.
done.
Can't get anything by you.
All right, let's try Nina in Palmdale. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We are good,
good
thank
Nina.
You.
Playing for Fall Out Boy tickets at the Hollywood Bowl and also a chance to see them perform acoustic on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's your title. Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys.
It's fake.
Is fake.
You're should, correct. But it should be real.
It should be real. Right. Actually, I guess I should give her a ding
yeah,
for being correct, I guess.
Just
yeah.
excuse me.
But that's as correct. A buzz is because it is a fake title. You are in the right. drawing. Well done.
All right, let's go to Erica and Whittier. Hi.
Hi.
No pressure, but no one has lost yet.
All right, here's your title. You say potato, I say vodka.
It's real.
It is not real. I'm so sorry, but thank you for playing.
All right. It's funny that everybody on everybody listening is like, yeah, probably.
I know. You can't tell with Fall Out Boy.
Kevin in Inglewood. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
We don't have a lot of good experience with Kevins on this
how
show,
dare
but
you.
Let's see how you
man.
Do. All right. Have you noticed, as our Kevin has, that anytime there's a Kevin character in TV shows or in movies, they always make him dumb? Have you noticed that, Kevin?
Now I do.
100% of the time when you see a character named Kevin, he's always just a dullard.
Like Kevin on the Office or Kevin in the Minions movie, the Kevin is always like the worst person in the room. I just wonder what that's
take
about.
Easy.
Oh, man.
All right, here's your title, Real or Fake Boy. I'm like a lawyer with the way I'm always trying to get you off.
That is real.
That is real.
I need to hear that song, too.
All right, let's go to another Kevin in Whittier.
What?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Kevin, listen up. Real boy, fake boy. I've got all this ringing in my ears and none on my fingers.
That is real.
It is real. All right, wow. Well done. We're stocking it here. We got time for how many more? One more?
One more. Ryan in Sunland, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Ryan, here's your real boy, fake boy. It is what it is, but what is it?
Real.
Sorry, that one is not real, but thank you for playing. All right, Fall Out Boy at the Hollywood Bowl with Wiz Khalifa Monday night. You also get to see them on a super special acoustic performance on the Kevin and Bean Show. Almost everyone's in the drawing, but only one will win. Miss Allie McKay, who is it?
The winner is Georgina.
Georgina. Yeah! Congratulations, Georgina.
Yay, I'm so excited.
We'll see you with Fall Out Boy at K-Rock. Thanks for playing the game.
By the way, that's another artist. We're just talking about Fall Out Boy coming to the Red Bull Sound Space. George Ezra is going to be here next week as well. You can go to krock.com and enter to win access to that. A lot of good stuff happening down the hall there at the Red Bull Sound Space. A lot of good stuff happening in Dave's bed, too, apparently.
What?
Dave, you woke up with a live chicken in your bed? What happened?
No. Hold on. Let's rewind here.
Okay.
So I saw a tweet from one of my friends saying that she woke up with a taco in her bed.
Oh, now that is not a euphemism?
No, it was
okay,
and
not
then
a euphemism.
And then she tweeted the actual taco. It was very funny. And that reminded me
so she fell asleep while eating the taco?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And that reminded me of a story where I also fell asleep while trying to eat food, and it happened to be fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
So I woke up. I see the fried chicken in bed with me.
Right.
And like a corpse on The Walking Dead, I was trying to eat it. No arms, no legs, just trying to bite at it, going, nah, nah, nah.
Wait, but you weren't
But it wasn't close enough to eat?
Nope. It was far just far enough, and I was so drunk that I couldn't get it.
Really? You were right so drunk that you couldn't move your hand?
Yep, and I went right back to bed.
Huh.
All right, let me ask you guys this.
A lot of food going on in bed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question, and I know that it is a common fallacy that many of us have to assume that other people are like us. So maybe you need to help me explain this. I don't eat any meals in bed. None.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, Bean.
You don't, is that a thing that people do?
You don't drink.
You don't drink.
Yeah.
And I think drinking causes a lot of this kind of stuff. Yeah.
But how do you end up in bed with your food, even if you're drunk? That's what I'm trying to get my head around here. Like, why would you take your food to bed? Because your food doesn't start out in the bed. The food starts out in the kitchen. Why are you not in the kitchen or on the couch?
Because you're tired and drunk. And so you go, hey, my bed sounds really great, yeah. But I'm starving.
You're not going to stand over the sink and eat a piece of chicken. You're
right.
Going to lay in bed and gnaw on that chicken.
You're laying in bed
eating
a chicken leg.
There's nothing better.
That's what's happening.
That
Okay. And the taco store, there wasn't anything more to that? Just that there's similar things? She was super drunk?
She was very, depressed with herself, like...
Well, that'll help. No. That'll help her self-esteem right there when she wakes up to a taco in her bed.
You're saying she was depressed because of the taco?
Yes,
She's like, wow, I'm losing it.
Yeah, it was funny. She tweeted at herself like how disappointed she was in herself.
For waking up with a taco in bed.
I can't. Kevin, do you eat meals in bed?
No, I don't. But all bets are off when you're drunk.
Okay. All right. So everything makes
all
sense.
All the rules go right out the window.
All right. We thought it might be fun to hear from Kevin and Bean listeners. At 1-800-520-1067. It doesn't even have to be food related, but you woke up and what was the surprise? Like something that you weren't expecting when you opened your eyes. Like, how did I get here? Or how did that happen? Or what am I doing? It's a gut check for you. I woke up like this and it wasn't a good this. 1-800-520-1067. Al, you had a little bit of an incident you were sharing with us in the office on Friday.
Yeah, I thought I'd get out ahead of the hangover that I knew I would have the next day. So I at least had the presence of mind to fill up a big old cup of Crystal Light.
Okay.
And it was tropical fruit punch. Red Crystal Light. Ooh. And why do I remember that? Because when I went to the bathroom the next morning, I looked in the mirror and thought, why is your hair pink?
So it spilled.
I apparently missed my mouth in a big way, and it was all over my head. And I thought, okay,
and your bed too, probably.
And my bed. I thought I had either murdered someone. I had gone to get my hair dyed in the middle of the night. I don't know, but yeah, it dyed my hair for about a week.
And when you say you're trying to get out ahead of a hangover, Crystal Light, is that something that's good to drink the next morning?
Well, I'd replenish. I would just keep waking up in the middle of the night and keep drinking, hydrate.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
I hydrated my head.
You hydrated the bed.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-520-1067. What was the surprise you woke up to? Why don't we start with Manuel? Whoops, that's not even the right button. Why don't we start with Manuel? He's on line one, please. He's in Los Angeles. He's got... I think his may be also food related. Hey, Manuel.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Very good, thank you. You woke up to what surprise?
Yesterday, I bought a big bottle of vodka in the morning, and I was drinking throughout the day. I felt I had to get something to eat. I went down the street to a popular Tom's Five, bought a half quarter, what is it called? Half chicken, fried chicken, fries and salad. I woke up this morning with the drumstick bone on my hand and the rest of the chicken still in the container. Laid out with orange, because I mixed my vodka with orange juice.
Sure.
And laid out and half of my shirt filled with orange juice.
Wow.
And I was just out.
Can I just revisit the beginning of this story again? Is that in the morning you went and got a bottle of vodka?
Yes, the best breakfast you can ever have, a bottle of vodka.
Well, you certainly proved that.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, Manuel.
It was a day off.
I'm no expert, but you might want to look into that, man. Look into that problem.
You want to try that again?
Yeah, you might want to see a doctor about that. Yeah.
I ordered the Ronda Rousey fight on Saturday.
Yeah.
Knocked out. Woke up Sunday pissed. Went and bought another bottle. Didn't even see the fight.
Might have a problem there, bud.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Matt, line three, please. Matt is up in Lancaster. He's got a story for us.
Hey, Matt.
Hi. Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. You woke up to what surprise?
I was at a bachelor party with my
buddies back in New Orleans, and it was like I got amazingly hammered on some grenades, and then I woke up the next morning around 6 a.m. on the lawn at Harrah's Casino with the sprinkler running.
Sweet. That's how you woke up, was getting hit by water?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm.
And what are those first few seconds like as it's starting to come into focus and you realize where you are and what you're doing?
Pretty bad. It's like, you know, I woke up and there was like a family of like three walking right by, like a 10-year-old girl looking at me, and I felt like them looked like the biggest piece of crap in the world.
Uh-huh. What you needed was a bottle of vodka and some fried chicken. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. We'll take your calls, too, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067 right after this on Kevin. I woke up like this. Right? I woke up like this. Well, talking about waking up. Sorry, Kevin. Talking about waking up like this to a bad surprise. Dave has a friend who woke up in a bed full of tacos the other day, and not a euphemism.
Now, when he says friend, it's Dave, right?
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Oh, I think it was the friend in quotes.
Yeah, sure.
So we're taking your calls of surprises you found that you woke up to at 1-800-520-1067. Tara writes in, by the way, streaming the show this morning in Seattle. Thank you, Tara. I woke up in bed recently surrounded by those Parmesan goldfish. Some were half eaten. Some were in crumbled pieces from where I rolled over. They were, I'm telling you that, guys, they were everywhere. In my hair, on my boobs, all over my bed. Poor fish. Then Ernesto writes in and says, hey, Bean, didn't Kevin once wake up to find strawberry ice cream smeared all over his bedroom walls? As a matter of fact, wasn't that a thing, Kevin?
Yeah, that was a thing.
What was that story?
I believe that was an Ambien story. We did that when we were talking about crazy things that happened on Ambien, but I believe I went to sleep, and when I woke up, there was not just a bowl of ice cream that I didn't remember getting, but it was on the walls. Now, wouldn't you pay any amount of money to have a video of that? Like, how did that happen? Why did that happen?
And to get inside your head and think, what were you thinking that it made sense to you, even on Ambien, that you were going to paint the walls basically with ice cream?
I can't help you.
That's awesome. All right. Let's get back to some calls.
But I licked it off. You don't want it to go to waste.
Right. You don't waste ice cream. Right. Boy, we got some great calls. I'm very excited about Jason. He's in Redondo Beach. He'll get us up first here on line 6.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. You woke up to what surprise?
Oh, okay. So I woke up three houses down from the party I started at. Mm-hmm. In a complete stranger's driver's seat with a black eye, crusted bomb hair, and my shoes neatly put behind the driver's side tires.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
You woke up in a stranger's car with a black eye. Did your friends, were they able to piece the night together for you so you knew what happened?
They completely lost me. I am not a small fellow. I am 6'2", 250, and they had no idea where I went.
Wow. So for the rest of your life, that's a mystery that you will grapple with.
Yeah, and I didn't even get to celebrate 4th of July because I was so hungover.
Can I use Vom Hair as a band name?
Yes, it should be.
All right, thank you, Jason.
Appreciate the call. Let's go down one line to line 8, please, in Cyprus, and let's say hi to Sarah.
Oh, sorry. Right, hi, Sarah.
Yes.
You woke up and found what?
Had been out partying. This is when I was a little younger in my 20s, still lived at home. So next morning I wake up and I hear my parents and they're like, well, her car's outside and she can't be walking. Her shoes are here. I don't know. Where could she be? So I open my eyes in the guest room in bed with grandma.
You were in bed with grandma.
Totally naked in bed with grandma.
Oh, wow.
And the bed.
I don't think that's what it is, Kevin.
No,
it's not that sort of thing.
Wait, was grandma naked?
No, grandma was not naked.
Okay, good.
That was really awkward.
Crisis
but,
avoided.
The bed was in a corner, so I look over and my poor grandma's just pressed against the wall staring at me.
Oh, grandma!
How old are you, Sarah, when this story happens?
I was about 23, 24.
Oh, my God. And what did grandma say?
Grandma didn't have many words, but my parents were like, where were you? How did you end up in here? It was just, it was crazy.
That's pretty sweet.
I bet that story is told every Thanksgiving, too.
It's repeated quite a lot.
grandma passed away last year, so even up until then, we're like, remember that time you woke up and said, grandma?
That is fantastic. I love it so much. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Juan, Kevin. He's in Lawndale on line 4. I think Juan's your kind of man. Hey, Juan.
How's it going, guys? How you doing?
We are good. We're talking about you woke up to a surprise.
Yeah, so I went out with my cousin. I used to work at a club out in Hollywood. So he's like, hey, I found these two girls. I actually met them, so let's go out. I really didn't want to go, and I'm meeting these girls, and they were just dime pieces. Beautiful girls.
Okay.
We partied all night. We were taking shots, and long story short, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning in Mission Viejo into this room, and there was like 7 tables lined up, and they were all massage tables, and I was in the last one with the white sheet on top of me, naked.
Wait. So the girls worked at the massage parlor? Or they had nothing to do with that?
I had no idea that they were running like this illegal massage parlor in their house in Mission Viejo. I woke up naked.
Oh, like, toga, I see.
Walked around. I'm like, where the hell am I? I'm like, I have no idea where I'm at. And my cousin woke me up. He's like, okay, we're here. This is a big surprise to me, too. I was like, oh, my God, I don't even know where I'm at. I'm like, how much did I spend? He's like, no, I got you. Don't worry.
That is crazy. So you think you're just partying at a chick's house, and then you wake up and find out you're in the middle of an illegal massage parlor ring.
I swear to God, it was awesome.
That is awesome. That actually is awesome. Thank you for the call, sir. Wow, we have so many great calls, you guys. Let's go to Palmdale, line 3, please. This is Steve. This one is the most terrifying of the stories we've heard so far, I think. Hey, Steve.
What up, guys?
Woke up to what?
So I woke up in a hospital out of the clothes that I was in to a nurse running over to me and telling me, stop panicking, stop moving. You're going to pull out your own catheter.
Oh. What?
Steve?
Wait, you didn't? What? Where? What was the last thing you remembered from the night before?
This was the night before my wedding. So I left the hospital, took a nap for a couple hours, and then drove to the place where I was getting married.
But how did you end up in the hospital? What happened to you?
We did like a Vegas thing. We got married outside of Vegas.
Right.
And we went to go party, and I just didn't make it out of that club. I'm not much of a drinker, and everybody's just handing me drinks, and next thing I remember, I woke up in the hospital, and the nurse was holding me down. She was like, stop.
Wow.
I gotta pull out the catheter, because if you pull it out, you're going to do something like terrible to your junk. And I was like, and then I froze up, and I was like, go ahead. That is the worst feeling ever.
So did you end up getting married?
Yeah, I've happily been married about 2.5 years now.
Well, she is she's very lucky. A great woman, that's for sure. All right. Thank you for the call, Steve. Appreciate that. Listen to this on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page from Dean. I woke up to 2 text messages. By the way, that's a whole other topic of text messages that you have no idea. One was from my ex-girlfriend saying, I can't effing believe you were through. She had no idea what that was about. And the other one was from a friend who said, just so you know, I saved your life last night. I didn't remember any of it.
And that's wow.
That would be a crazy story to try to piece together the next morning.
Let's go to Kyle, who has a crazy story in Huntington Beach. Hi, Kyle.
All right.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You woke up to what surprise?
Okay, so I had a really bad toothache. Couldn't do anything about it, so I ended up getting some prescription pills, some Somas, and I just took like a handful of them, like 4 or 5, and then
by the way, that's what doctors recommend with medication. Just take a handful.
And then, well, anyway, there's some 151 in my cabinet, and I'm living at home. I'm like 20 years old. And so I just chugged it.
All right, we got it. So now you're drunk and you're on prescription pills, and you wake up to see what?
So I wake up naked in my mom's bed, but I do not know what happened, and I wake up, I walk through the house, and no one's home, luckily. But, yeah, it was a very weird feeling.
Was she a gentle lover?
Was she outside having a smoke?
Son, you were fantastic. All right, that's icky. I apologize. We had to think of that. Kyle writes in, and let's end with Chris here later. Kyle writes in, I woke up and felt someone's arm on me, and I freaked out because I knew that I'd gone to bed alone. It turns out I slept on my arm, and it had gone numb. All right, Chris, take us home, buddy, in Long Beach. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I was real young. I was like 18. I went to this house party.
And they're like, okay, everybody has to go. So I'm like, oh, perfect. I just poured a whole red Solo cup full of vodka, another one full of cranberry. I walk out the door. My friend's like, you're not getting in my car with that. So I just chug them both. We get to my house. I'm already partway blacked out. We start drinking Smirnoff, a whole case of Smirnoff Ices, those like chick drinks. I get so blacked out off those things. My friends carry me inside, put me in bed. I wake up the next morning, and there's poo everywhere.
Oh,
all
no.
Over my bathroom, all over the hallway.
Nope.
What?
Poo everywhere. And I'm like, what? I'm spotless. I took a shower, apparently. Exactly. So, and you know in the bathroom you have the air freshener?
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. I just threw it right in the middle of the pile. Just
Well, and how did that work for you?
And freshened it up so fresh and so clean. I just got to give a big shout out to my friend Santiago. He took the blame for me. I told my roommate it was my friend Santiago.
Nice.
Nah, he done. Sure did. He sure made a mess. All right. Wow. Thanks, Chris.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
That one surprised you when it ended, didn't it?
Yeah, because Chip said 20 seconds, then it was over.
She said about 20 seconds ago, to be fair.
Dare you?
Hey, Ralph Garman's out making a movie this week. Filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Good morning, you guys. Let's talk about the box office results. Debuting at number one, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, projected about $40 million for the U.S. opening. Did a little bit better, coming in at $56 million. Kevin,
you've seen them all. Yeah. You've seen them all. How do you rank, what's this one called, Ghost Protocol? How do you rank this one compared to the others?
No, Ghost Rogue Protocol Nation. Was last time.
Oh, what's this one called?
I think this is Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation, sorry, yeah.
It was good. It was very, they used a lot of the elements again, though, which you start to go, okay, well, come up with something else. You know, right.
They got a formula.
Have you seen any of them?
I think I have. I think I've seen at least the first couple.
Because they'll do the thing where they put on a realistic-looking mask so you really think that you're talking to that person. They really kind of overuse that now. Okay, yeah. We've seen that in every movie.
Yeah.
There's no surprise in it anymore.
Saw that in Scooby-Doo. We get it.
I don't know that it was Scooby-Doo. It was well done. It was just a little repetitive.
Got it.
Loved it, though.
But Simon Pegg.
It was very loud, and it had Simon Pegg.
Yeah. That's all you need for a hit movie. I've said that for years. Coming in number two, also a debut, that was Vacation at $14.9 million, followed by Ant-Man, Minions, and Pixels. That rounds out the top five. And a pretty sad thing happening on Friday. We lost a wrestling legend. Rowdy Roddy Piper suffered a heart attack and died at his home in Hollywood on Friday at the age of 61. Of course, he had more than 30 titles to his name, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2005. He's survived by his wife, Kitty, their four kids, including three daughters, and a son named Colton, who's pursuing a career in professional wrestling himself. And coming up just after 9, we're going to talk to Cousin Sal. He was a good friend of Roddy Piper, so we're going to talk to him a little bit, get some inside scoop on what the man was like.
And let's don't forget one of the great movie lines of all time from They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Boom.
And you were saying, Bean, you've heard that that was actually an improv line.
I have heard that, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of great movie lines that were improvised on the spot, like I know. But that apparently is one of them.
A little Han Solo action there.
Don't cry.
I don't cry at that line. I cried at Chewie. We're home. Oh, I'm going to need a minute. All right. Snoop, not having a good go of things in Europe.
What's happening with Snoop?
Yeah. So last week he was stopped in Sweden on suspicion of drug use. Snoop said, nope, didn't happen. Everything's fine. I was not under the influence driving. First of all, why he's driving in Sweden is weird to me, but that's a whole other story. But he was stopped on Saturday by financial police in southern Italy because he was carrying $422,000 in cash.
See how they come at black people?
You know what I'm saying? And we were talking about earlier how you can't cross lines with you have to declare a specific amount that
I think it's
way
10 grand.
10 or 11 grand.
That was
obviously way over, but understandable when you think about these concerts. You may not know the promoters as well. There might not be a reason that you suspect the check won't bounce, so why not take it in cash, right?
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
See, Larry?
Plus, he's got to buy a lot of weed.
Well, it's walking around money.
Okay.
Yeah. But it makes sense if you think about it. Wouldn't you take it in cash if you had the option? All right. Well, half of the cash was returned, but the other half is being held by Italian authorities, and he'll most likely get a fine out of all of that. So.
That ain't cool, man. That hurt my heart, man, to see that.
Right? Snoop, I feel you. I totally feel you. Some TV news. We talked about it a little while ago. If you're fans of Downton Abbey, and who isn't, Bean?
Hey, it's my show. I love it. I'm bummed out it doesn't come back till January.
Well, it comes back January 3rd, but you can check them out before then.
Yes.
Where, you may ask?
Where?
On a float in the Rose Parade.
The cast?
Yeah, they're going to be on there.
Just
to promote
on float.
Their show. Just going by waving.
Rose Parade.
I don't know. I just find that weird. I know a lot of shows do it, but
I just think...
Downton Abbey.
They're a cast of a popular TV show. They want to promote it like anybody else with a new show coming back on. It makes sense. It's just, maybe it seems weird to you because you can't picture those people dressed in contemporary garments. You know what I mean? Looking like 21st century people. You're just used to
seeing
them.
Made out of flowers.
You're used to seeing them look like 100 years ago.
I
think
Kevin.
So. I think that's how they do it.
Really?
Everything on there is made out of flowers. I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
Look it up.
I'm going to look that up right after this. Some other TV news. Former Deadwood star Ian McShane, who, by the way, is killing it right now on Ray Donovan. Malcolm Finney.
Sure is rich.
Oh, he's doing so good. He has been added to the cast of the upcoming season of HBO's Game of Thrones. Woo! How exciting. Nobody's been told what part he'll play yet on the series other than it will be a key role. Any of you watch Game of Thrones?
I do not.
I don't.
Okay.
I feel like I would like it, but I don't have time.
What about One Day at a Time? You like that show?
Nope.
Topical, current? Well, maybe not topical or current right now, but Norman Lear, he was at the Television Critics Association press tour, and he said, you know what? I'm bringing it back.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Amen. They're talking about doing a Latino version of One Day at a Time, not in Spanish, but in English.
Okay.
And he wants a grandma on the show, so there's going to be three generations of women because, quote, I love the idea because I don't see enough of that on the air anyplace, and I think it's a rich idea. To which Cristela just cried. Said, hey, but
I was here for a while.
Remember me. Also, Good Times. Remember
Good
that
times.
Show?
Dino oh, the Mike? TV show?
Yeah. Movie reboot, still no works. Or a reboot. Either way. It's going to be filmed in Canada. It won't be. God, I'm tired.
It's happening. You're just making stuff up now. It's nonsense.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
It's nonsense. They're shooting it in Canada. No, they're not.
What? I agree.
What's happening?
I think you should cut your losses, Blondie.
Wow. Oh, Tony Bennett's 89, Martin Sheen 75, Martha Stewart is 74, Isaiah Washington 52, a whole slew of hot chicks, according to Bean's Bell, Evangeline Lilly is 36, Hannah Simone is 35, Carly Kloss is 23, and the hottest of them all, Tom Brady, 38. Asshole! Thought I'd slip it in. No bell there.
Nope.
I'm Allie McKay for Rob Garman Show This Week.
Quick reminder, the 2015 K-Rock Summer Sticker is available now. It is out at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You put it on the back of your car and you enter to win a slew of great prizes, including a 2015 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see Muse in Mexico City, a $500 Hot Topic gift card, and so much more. Plus, Beer Mug is going to be making appearances all over Southern California with even additional prizes. Again, details at krock.com. We were discussing earlier that we lost Rowdy Roddy Piper, one of the wrestling legends of all time, over the weekend. This is a tough time to be an old school fan of wrestlers, Kevin. Look at Hulk Hogan. He has been erased from the sport as if he's some sort of Soviet traitor. And now Rowdy's gone. And the first name that I thought of when I heard the sad news on Friday was our friend Cousin Sal from the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, because I know that he worked with and was friends with Roddy Piper. And he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Sal. How are you, man?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate
sure.
it.
Our pleasure. Long time no talk. We've really missed you. And I am serious when I say I really did think about you, because I remember when you went through that wrestling storyline, he was your coach, right?
He really was. And I want to warn you ahead of time, I haven't been able to spit out as much of a paragraph about Roddy without breaking down the last 3 days. So get ready for some terrible radio.
All right, good. Well, that's what this show is famous for, Sal.
I was obsessed with Roddy. Like, I think it was a 2-year period from like 8th to 10th grade, I had an extremely unhealthy obsession with Rowdy Roddy Piper. I only spoke like him in school for like 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. And my Aunt Joan, Jimmy Kimmel's mother, made me a kilt because she caught on to the obsession, and I'd wear it. I'd get on a train. It'd take an hour and a half to get to Madison Square Garden from Long Island. I'd wear the kilt, and I'd get in there, and sections of people would boo me and throw crap at me. And I loved it. I loved it. I would berate teachers as Rowdy Roddy Piper, and the progress report would come out, and it would say uncooperative behavior in class all across the board, every class. And then all of a sudden, my kilt disappeared. I think my parents hid it from me. It's not like today where you could pick up a kilt at any Rite Aid. I had to really improvise.
What was it about him that that drew you to him? Like, why was he your favorite at that age?
I just loved how, I don't know, I mean, it says a lot about me, but I loved how despised he was and how focused. I mean, he had the gimmick with the bagpipe and the kilt and everything, but I really don't think wrestling would be, and I know people say this when someone dies, like they over-exaggerate, but I don't think it would be what it is without him. Like, when he broke the scene in 84, it was Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan will get all the credit, but they needed a villain. They needed someone to compliment Hogan, and he was so despised. I mean, Batman without the Joker and the Penguin is boring, and they really needed Roddy Piper to fit. He focused so much on being hated, and that's what, and he declared war on rock and roll, which is ridiculous to even think about. But that was a major component in the whole resurrection of wrestling.
So how did it work about 7-8 years ago when you found yourself on Friday Night Slam and you were fighting, if I remember correctly, it was a wrestler named Santiago, right?
Santino,
that was it, yeah. And so how did that work? How did you get into the fold, and how did you end up pairing with Rowdy? I mean, was that the first time you met him? Was it during that period?
You know, it's funny. My cousin Jimmy hired him to show up at my 30th birthday party, and he really came there.
That's pretty strong.
He was there for like 10 minutes. It was like a kid's birthday party. He showed up, and I hear him come around the corner, and he says, "I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum." And then I see him, and really, like a kid's party, he showed up. He put me in the sleeper hold. He told a couple stories and then left. And I was actually like, I was terrified to meet him. It was really weird. And then years later, we had a talent booker on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and she then went to work for the WWE. And I said, "Why don't you set up a storyline with me? It'd be great, and I'd love to be trained by Roddy Piper." And he did. He did just that. And he came out and he trained me, and it was really a career highlight. Nothing will ever get better.
What was he like behind the scenes?
He was terrific. He really was. Like, he was a weirdly respectful, kind, in touch with his feelings man. And he was such a family man. And it's weird because he'd watch football with us from time to time, and he'd tell my sons, he's like, "Nothing bad's ever going to happen to you guys while I'm alive." And it was a weird thing to say to them. And believe me, I let them know. They're on their own now. I don't know what
that was his promise.
Yes, exactly. But
by the way, Sal, your fight, which you won, by the way, that night.
Yes, exactly.
You did pick up Santini and hurl him to the ground, and he did the same to you. I know everybody. The knock on wrestling is that it's choreographed and it's the scripted and ahead of time. That looked like it really did have to hurt, though.
It did hurt. It did hurt. I practiced like every Saturday for 14 weeks straight because I wanted to get it right. Not want to look this to look bad because I know it would be a one shot deal, and I'd never have a chance at this again. But yeah, thank you. I'm glad you appreciate that.
It's so interesting to hear your story about how you grew up and became friends with your childhood hero. You know, we talk to Ralph Garman about that sometimes. Now that he's actually friends with Adam West, who is all he thought about and cared about when he was a little boy, you know, watching the Batman TV series. It's just, I mean, so few people have that opportunity to turn that into the reality. It must be something that it'll just be in your heart forever, I would imagine. So,
and believe me, like, it's worked the other way too. Like, I don't mind saying this. I met Emmitt Smith, who I'm a big Cowboys fan, obviously, and
right.
It didn't go as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't as nice to me. And since then, I kind of shy away. But, I mean, it really was great being friends with him. It never sorry, I'm getting emotional now.
It's all right. It's okay, Sal.
No, between dead wrestlers and dead lions, my family is really having a hard time.
There's a lot of crying going on in your family.
Exactly.
Sal, before we get you off the phone, though, how did you react to the Hulk Hogan news? Has this also been tough for you?
You know, it's weird. Like, I was texting with Roddy about this last week, and he was like, he says,
Ah, my pal, I finally got over on Hogan. I didn't think it would happen this way, but I finally got over on him after all these years. But, deep down, he did feel bad for him. You know, it's an unfortunate thing. And like you said, wrestling has really taken a hit, like Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper and Hogan, you know, being blackballed. It's interesting. It's very, very sad what happens to these guys.
Tough times. Well, everybody who met Rowdy Roddy Piper became a fan of him as a human and as an entertainer. And Sal, I'm glad we got a couple of minutes to have you share your stories. We really appreciate the time, and anytime you can join us, you're always welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:38.
All right, let's give Allie another chance. After what happened last time, get it together, Goldilocks. Come on. Let's bring it home strong. In for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie McKay.
Let's start off with some box office, shall we? It was projected to make $40 million for their U.S. opening, but Mission Impossible, well, Rogue Nation one-upped them quite a bit. $56 million in its debut over the weekend.
And again, I ask, you've never seen any of the movies in the Mission Impossible franchise. Why again?
Because it's
they look
not
too good.
It's not impossible. It's very possible, and then it winds up the same every single time, right?
And you know that because of which one?
The first six.
that you haven't seen?
Four? How many are there?
Again, you like again. The Bourne movies you're fine yeah. with. Mission Impossible, not so much. That's a strange line to draw.
That is a strange line. Is it Tom Cruise?
It might be Matt Damon. I just really like
him. Oh, because he's from The Bad Place, right?
Yeah. Speaking of Bad Place. I'm sorry. Moving on. Number two, Vacation. That was a debut at $14.9 million. Did you think it would make that much?
Yeah. I think I would have guessed. Yeah. 14 isn't great.
It isn't great, but isn't that sad that it isn't great? But yeah. Then we've got Ant-Man coming in at 3 with $12.6 million, Minions 12.2, and Pixels at $10.4 million. It's just hard for debut movies to do well when you've got those powerhouses.
Yep.
Rounding out the top five. If you're just waking up, I am sorry to be the one to bring you this news, but we've got to pour one out for Hitchbot. Yeah. Is that like a death kazoo? What is that? What's that instrument right there?
I don't know. It is a sad trombone, I think.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. It's
what
very
happened to
sad.
Hitchbot?
So if you remember, Hitchbot is that robot that was having to rely on the kindness of strangers to bring him to each location. He was going to be hitchhiking across the country. He's got a GPS tracker. You can follow his adventures. Pictures taken every 20 minutes to see what was going on with his life. Started in, I believe, somewhere in Europe, went off without a hitch. But went to Canada, no problems mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Came went all the way across the entire continent.
Yeah. Not bad.
Within Canada, without a single problem.
Without a single problem. 2 weeks in America, Hitchbot is dead. Yeah, real bad. Started out 2 weeks ago in Marblehead, Massachusetts. Went down to Boston. Went to a Red Sox game. Just lived it up. Probably had a Fenway Frank, possibly
sure.
a soda. I don't
ketchup
know.
On
with
it,
ketchup.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Like a real American robot. And then traveled down to New York. Everything's fine in New York. Things are great. He makes his way to the city of brotherly love. And that's where he met his demise. He was basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Bean, he was dismembered.
Yeah, they took him apart.
They took apart Hitchbot.
It's a horrible photo. So, and you said there's another photo that they didn't even post because it was so grim.
They didn't want to post it for to protect young fans who might be distraught.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
And, Kevin, you laugh at this. You think nothing is wrong with this. This is humanity. This is where
no.
we are as a people.
This is Hitchbot. I don't care about Hitchbot, and I'm fascinated by Bean's outrage.
By America's outrage, by the way.
Yeah. Right, that's what I meant. By America's
outrage.
No,
let's go outrage. With the world's outrage. The world.
Look.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Absolutely. Kevin, get
I'm
on board.
Look, I'm saying there's human tragedy, then
mm-hmm.
there's animal tragedy,
yeah.
and then way down on the list somewhere is Hitchbot. I mean, really, how important is that?
It didn't physically hurt Hitchbot, but
it hurt you.
It hurt our spirit,
yeah,
Kevin.
It hurt
That's
our
what
spirit.
It did.
Yeah, this
what?
Is a human tragedy.
It's not a human tragedy.
It is.
How is it a human tragedy?
Hey, are you a robot?
It just is.
How?
Because it unveils the black heart in some people.
Yeah.
They should be deported and meant to go wrestle a lion.
Yeah.
Right.
angry Judge Bean.
I agree, Bean.
Thank you.
Okay. Bean. Moving along. Dr. Dre, we've all known that he had been working on an album a long time ago, Detox, right? But
yeah,
nothing really...
For 15 years.
Yeah,
before.
Nothing came out of that, and I guess he permanently shelved it. However, this Friday, Dr. Dre is set to release his first album in 15 years through Apple's new streaming music service. Not Detox.
Yeah! Not Detox.
Not Detox at all. This is Compton, a soundtrack by Dr. Dre, and it's inspired by the upcoming biopic Straight Outta Compton. So I guess he was working on this movie, became so inspired that he put this album together. So it's available this Friday.
He's got all his friends. He's got Eminem. He's got Ice Cube. He's got Kendrick Lamar.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. And, of course, the movie comes out a couple Fridays from now on August the 14th. So you can get the album this Friday. Just pump it in your car. Just bump it on the way to the movie. Is that what you're
going
to do?
You know who won't be able to enjoy that?
Who?
Pitchbot.
Why would you bring that up so soon?
Let him rest in peace, Kevin. Come on.
Right? Seriously.
Stop referring to it as him.
It was a him.
It wasn't.
Yeah,
it was.
It was
a robot.
Agree to disagree on
Troubling
that one.
Me.
Well, we had that sad news. Why not liven it up with some news of being born, birth, coming out of the sadness?
Okay.
You want to do that, Kevin?
Sure. Is that about a robot being born?
We don't know yet. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan. Well, they're expecting a baby. No word on when the baby's due, but of course, where would they announce that? Where would they announce the pregnancy?
Twitter?
Nope.
Mm.
MySpace?
Nope.
I'm out.
AOL?
No, you guys, Facebook.
Oh, right? Yeah.
We should have. He's the CEO. Yeah.
Should have thought of that.
Bet
that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
I don't think so.
That's not the case at all.
Speaking of
it was Pat Robertson, and that was said on TV.
Serious.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Charlize Theron has adopted a baby girl. She adopted
that little baby.
Why would you be Adolf Hitler?
No. Not even a little bit.
What is wrong with you?
She adopted the child last month to join her 4-year-old son, Jackson. And they're going to be a little brother and sister. But no dad in sight. No, because she broke up with Sean Penn.
What? You really have hit pay dirt if you're born into this world and Charlize Theron adopts you.
Right?
That's a pretty good deal. She seems like a great lady.
Yeah. Sure.
Why are you mocking? She does. She seems.
She absolutely does.
Yeah, she seems to be.
Just waiting for her to take that creepy
turn. Yeah, I was waiting for.
No,
for
not
you
all.
To go
she just
right up to the corner of creepy.
Yeah.
No, nothing creepy about it at all. I'm just being completely complimentary about her. She's just a nice, smart, talented lady who appears to put all of her energies in the right direction, and she supports a lot of great causes, and I think she's probably a great mom.
I'm proud of you, Bean. You could have gone full Bean right then.
And so hot.
Yep. There you go.
There
all right.
There it is.
And Chris Brown may not be mature enough for parenthood. According to the baby's mother, that baby being Royalty. That's the baby's name.
Sure.
Just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. Nia Guzman has filed documents with the court to request that visits with little Royalty are supervised because, well, she doesn't feel he's up for watching the kid on his own without
his friends. He's not a good person.
Maybe they might be drinkers, maybe some drugs, maybe some bad choices happening. So
Certainly some fights are going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we go back to Charlize for a second?
Sure.
She used to date Sean Penn,
mm-hmm.
and now obviously reports are they broke up, can't figure out what happened. People are saying she ghosted him. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
Stop returning calls, stop returning texts. You just kind of...
Just disappear?
Disappear. Well, according to reports, Rocco, who is Madonna's son, has been in contact with Sean Penn as soon as he found out that they broke up because he wants Sean to get back together with Madonna. He feels they are meant to be, and maybe Sean has been holding a torch for Madonna all these years.
It's got to be a weird call.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So now that Sean Penn is single, mm-hmm. Madonna's kid thinks he should get back together with his mom.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't care what the kid thinks. That's how I feel about it.
Why do you hate Rocco?
I don't. It's just his
name.
Kid.
First of all, his name.
Most
it's Rocco.
Name.
Yeah. I don't think you should date based on who your kids like.
Well, speaking as a father, so that makes sense. All of these stars were born on August the 3rd. Tony Bennett, 89 years old. Martin Sheen, 75. Martha Stewart is 74 years old. Metallica lead singer James Hetfield is 52. Evangeline Lilly, 36. Hannah Simone, 35. Quarterback Tom Brady is 38. And Carly Kloss is 23. She's a model. Mm. Happy birthday, Tommy. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Joel Edgerton, who is the director and co-star of The Gift. That's a movie with Jason Bateman. He looks pretty creepy. We also have Petros Papadakis in the studio, The Bachelor in Paradise. 2 hours last night, 2 hours tonight, and we've got your report tomorrow morning. And Fall Out Boy is coming to K-Rock. We've got your tickets for that as well tomorrow morning on an All-New Kevin and Bean Show.